Recyclical, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclical's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclical Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Mike Swanson, editor of WallStreetWindow.com. Welcome back to the show, Mike, and Happy New Year.
Oh, thank you. It's great to talk with you this year.
So how have the stock markets started the year?
Well, we started the year so far with a little bit of a dip. Right after New Year's, the big cap tech stocks, they fell. Apple had a couple days where it was down over 3%. Gold pulled back a little bit too. Mining stocks, price of oil, just about everything has pulled back. And at the same time, there's been a little bit of nervousness, I suppose you could say, on a part of people in the financial media about how quickly the Fed Reserve is likely to lower interest rates this year. And the up and down swings have kind of been connected to that news. But I would suggest that this activity, this price action, pretty much should have been expected by everybody and not be a surprise, because the stock market in gold and pretty much everything went up quite a bit in November, December, without any sort of pullback at all. And so it was due to pullback or pause. And I think that's all that we're just getting, is just a pause in all these different markets. In fact, it went up, the S&P went up so much since the October low, that one of the technical indicators that I use, the RSI indicator, which measures overbought and oversold conditions, it had the biggest overbought reading since early 2018, 6 years ago. So none of the action should be surprising to people.
Hmm. Now, some people believe the first week of the year can predict how the stock market's going to be for the rest of the year. Are you one of those believers in the first week syndrome, they call it?
Not really, because you can find exceptions to that. For example, in the year 2000, the market actually rallied that month, in the first month of the year, and then of course fell in the rest. The year 2001 I'm thinking about, and then fell towards the end of the year. I know statistically it's something like 75% of the time that the market is up in January, it's up the rest of the year, or up the first week, it's up, then it's up the rest of January, and so forth. But, and we are bouncing back. I mean, the S&P closed today, as we're speaking, above the open on the first. So it's not like we're having a giant drop off of that opening day to start the year.
What do you think of the ETF for Bitcoin?
Well, I read a couple stories about this morning. I don't have a position in Bitcoin one way or the other, but one of the articles, first of all, of course, it's been going up into this news for months. Widely anticipated that ETFs would be launched. Now it looks like multiple ETFs are going to be launched. And the Bitcoin people say that, look, this is going to make it easier for people to buy Bitcoin, so more money will go into the Bitcoin market. In fact, I even saw an article this morning comparing these Bitcoin ETFs to the GLD ETF for gold, saying it's just going to make it so much easier for people to buy Bitcoin. Well, I chuckle because what these arguments demonstrate is what I've been saying all along for the past couple of years, and that is that the true purpose of Bitcoin, and all these cryptos for that matter, but we're just speaking of Bitcoin because that's what these ETFs are, that the true purpose is not to act as money. It's never going to replace the U.S. dollar or cash, or it's not a store of value because it's too volatile and it's too hard to use because every time you know, you can't use it as money because it's got all these transaction fees attached to it that are much bigger than transaction fees you get from a credit card, which, you know, you, typically the customer doesn't get any. But with Bitcoin, the customer and the seller, both ends get hit. It's just brutal. So it's just too hard to use as money. And so it's not used as money. And in the very fact that people are saying, well, this is going to make it easy now for people to buy Bitcoin, proves that point, that it's not easy to buy Bitcoin. So the only purpose of Bitcoin is speculation, and that's it. And the existence and the arguments surrounding ETF prove to me that's the case. Now, all that said, you know, it doesn't mean Bitcoin doesn't tell you anything about what Bitcoin will do, that argument I just made. However, it does suggest that Bitcoin really doesn't have any fundamental value at all. In fact, if you mathematically look at the relationship of Bitcoin to the U.S. dollar, it doesn't have any. It doesn't go up when the dollar goes down, which is what gold does and why gold is used as a hedge against currency declines. Bitcoin is not. Because it has no mathematical relationship to that, despite claims of people that it's going to, you know, it's an alternative. It isn't. It's only an instrument of speculation, like AMC stock or stock of companies that might go bankrupt, and you might buy it because it goes up and down before it goes bankrupt. So with this, my argument is that not now, maybe not next week or next month even, but at some point, Bitcoin will do what it's always done when the NASDAQ has declined, and that's go into a collapse. Because eventually, and I don't think, it may not even happen this year, because I still think we're in a cyclical bull market, but there will be another bear market in the stock market. There'll be another recession, perhaps it starts after the election or 2025. But when it happens, Bitcoin will do what it did the last times it happened, and that's completely crash. Because it's the only instrument of leverage and speculation. So what I see this Bitcoin ETF is providing is actually not simply an easy way to buy your Bitcoin and gamble, but perhaps now we have an easy way to bet against Bitcoin. So that's something I'm going to keep in mind as we go forward. This might be a way we can buy puts, or maybe there'll be a Bitcoin short ETF or some instrument to bet against the crypto to actually profit when it collapses.
Yeah, and the swings that it's taken down to 13,000 not all that long ago after hitting a high of 68,789.
Yeah, it'll do it again. It'll do it again.
And if everybody piles in now, how many people are going to come crying later? I put all my money in Bitcoin again, and I lost again.
Yeah, we saw it in 2018, and you know, 2 years ago, it'll happen again. But you know, I've been trying to dissuade people. Someone's got a good way to, you know, gamble with it and trade it and whatever. That's good for them. But as far as like, what role does it play for you know, regular investor who's not a day trader in their investment accounts, I would suggest it's just, like I said, it's just speculation and leverage, not any different than buying call options on the NASDAQ. In fact, the mathematical correlation it has is with the NASDAQ more than anything else, meaning that when the NASDAQ goes up, Bitcoin typically goes up too, and then and vice versa. So, whereas gold is less volatile than the S&P 500, and since the summer of 2000, gold has actually outperformed the Dow and the S&P 500. And I think has a role in an investment portfolio because of its historical relationship to the U.S. dollar.
We'll have more with Mike Swenson right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Mike Swenson. Mike, do you think gold juniors will show new life this year?
Yeah, I actually do. Gold, you know, the majors haven't really come alive yet. Gold, as we're speaking, is, you know, trading around 2030, just in last month. It made an all-time high, went above 2100 briefly and came back down. And it's trading in a range that the metal itself, silver is currently trading a little relatively weaker than gold. And I think that historically that changes when at some point what typically happens is you see gold, you know, gold goes up and it's been going up, and then silver will start to outperform gold. Now, this is important for the juniors because the past couple of years, what I've noticed is that when silver does well, the juniors do well, and then when silver lags gold, the juniors do the same. They don't perform that well. So I think that's going to change at some point in the next couple of months. I think we'll see silver come alive, the junior mining stocks come alive, and kind of probably what will happen is stocks like Newmont, Barrick, the big cap mining stocks, you know, they haven't priced in these gains in gold, and I think at some point that there'll be a bid under them, and then you'll start to see the money shift into the juniors. So I do think there's a tremendous opportunity this year in buying them, the right ones. I'm not the expert to ask about which ones are the best ones to buy. You got other guests that are better than me in that, and in the House Street website itself. Mm-hmm. So,
what do you think is going to happen with the uranium market that really picked up last year?
I'm not really sure. It's such a small, market in itself as far as, you know, how much money it takes to move uranium up and down. I don't really have a fundamental grasp, a grasp on the fundamentals of what's driving the uranium market. But it certainly looks positive. You know, a lot of the uranium stocks look good. I noticed today one of the smaller ones, I don't have a position or in it or anything, but Denison Mines made a nice move this week. So, what I've experienced with uranium and uranium mining stocks is that they kind of follow what gold does. You know, when gold and silver get hot, then eventually uranium does too. Just kind of different parts of the metal sectors seem to come alive. And then we've seen copper stocks are doing well too. I think it's going to do well next couple of years also.
What sectors really caught your eye for the new year?
Well, it's kind of funny, but at towards the end of last year, what I noticed, like if you look at the price of gold, It basically traded in a range almost the entire year between 1900 and 2000 until October, late September, October, and then October, it broke below 1900 and was only below for a short amount of time, and then boom, it boomeranged back up. And that decline was linked to, it coincided with the final top in the U.S. dollar index and interest rates in the United States. The bond yield on the 10-year treasury went above 5%, and that was the final peak on that hiking cycle for the treasury bond yield. So what I'm trying to suggest here is that October, we really saw an extreme move in different markets, but peak in yield in the treasury bond market, a temporary breakdown in the gold. It was a fake breakdown in the bottom, and things boomerang back up. And that happened across sectors inside the stock market. And there were several sectors that kind of had final meltdowns in October. And then after that, going into New Year's, they had big rallies, really boomerang back. And I'm not talking about, to the NVIDIA and these big cap tech stocks, which is all they talk about on television. I'm talking about something some sectors that were lagging the market, and then they just crashed. And I think they put in major bottoms in these specifically are defensive sectors that pay big dividends, such as utility stocks in REIT. And historically, like we just talked about the utility stocks, historically, the utility stocks go down when the Federal Reserve raises interest rates, which is what they did, and then had a crash low or final low, I believe, in October. And then when they stop raising rates, historically those stocks go up. And when they lower rates, they historically go up even more. And they pay good dividends and stable earnings. So that's a sector I put some money into at the end of last year. And outside of gold and silver, I'm bullish on that sector. And I'm also interested to see this year what's going to happen in markets outside the United States. Because I think the dollar, I believe, is going to continue to go down this year, help gold. But that'll also help for American investors to be invested in markets outside the United States. So it could be that Germany, Europe, maybe some select Asian markets outside of China do very well for American investors. If the dollar is going down, the euro will go up, the Swiss franc will go up, the Japanese yen might even go up, for goodness sakes. And already, the Nikkei is going crazy. The Japanese stock market is probably the best performing market in the world since New Year's. So I think there's going to be opportunities outside the United States and different ways to benefit from the falling dollar. It could, one way to just step back and just think about the last couple of years, if you want to focus on one trend as the most important trend, it's the simple fact that interest rates went to zero in 2020, and they'll never go to, they had they couldn't go any lower than that. So they made the bottom of our lifetime, and now they've been going up, and now we're in a, they made a temporary peak last year. Now, they're going to, the trend is pausing, and that's going to be bearish for the dollar.
Mike, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Thank you. Great talk with you.
My guest has been Mike Swanson, editor of WallStreetWindow.com. If you have any questions for Mike or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com. Find us on X at HowStreet. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.